And welcome to Community Voice. I'm your host, Josh Engel. Today is Friday, January 24th. Just double checking the date there to make sure. We have a Dr. Christopher Randolph in the studio with us today with Tanner Health System. Dr. Randolph is a board certified in psychiatry and geriatric psychology at the Willowbrook Psychiatric Center in Carrollton. He earned his medical degree from the University of Alabama Birmingham School of Medicine and completed his internship and residency at Medical College of Georgia in Augusta. Today we're going to be speaking about Willowbrook. Willowbrook has a variety of treatment options for people suffering with addiction, whether you are abusing alcohol, prescription drugs, or illicit substances. They have the addiction counseling expertise and treatment programs to help you face and recover from addiction. Good morning, Dr. Randolph.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yes, thank you so much for joining us. And just a reminder to our listeners, this morning's program is being live streamed on our WLBB News Talk 1330 Facebook page. So if you have any questions, comments, or kudos for Dr. Randolph, feel free to throw those in the chat. I'd be happy to read those to him. Sir, if you could, perhaps let's start with could you tell the listeners a bit about your role at Willowbrook?
I'm a psychiatrist, and I work both providing some weekend coverage on the inpatient units, but also work with Regain, which is a partial program or intensive outpatient program for substance use. Now, by an intensive outpatient program, we mean a program in which people are coming in for therapy several times a week. Usually it's three times a week. Regain, the specific substance use program, is after hours. Which works with people's work schedules or other schedules. While people are in that program, they are usually seeing a psychiatrist, it may be me, to look at how they are proceeding in the program and also look at how they are managing sobriety. Part of what we do is, of course, being involved in various forms of psychotherapy, counseling, getting people into developing a recovery-based lifestyle, and we also look at possible benefits from using various pharmacologic interventions to assist people with their recovery journey.
That's something I would love to speak with you a bit more in detail, and I imagine we'll have a chance to speak about that later in the show in regards to the pharmacological treatments that might be available to help individuals with addiction. Why don't we start at the beginning? What is addiction?
That's a very broad question. And the definitions for it vary over time, but basically is the use of a substance, though it's been the concept's been expanded to behaviors, which continue to be used at the exclusion of one's health. Let's just simplify it like that. Like, say somebody has alcohol dependence. They increase their use of alcohol to achieve a pleasurable effect to the point that they develop a physiologic dependence on it. That is, if they stop, they start to have withdrawal symptoms, which can be life-threatening. People tend to trivialize alcohol use, but they forget that, one, it's the most frequently abused substance out there. To about 10% of the population have alcohol dependence. You are often have tremendous psychosocial impairment due to alcohol use, including frequently legal entanglements. Mm. Also, if you stop drinking after you've developed alcohol dependence, you may have withdrawal symptoms, which can be transient, but can progress to florid DTs, in which you have a 20 to 25% mortality rate.
That is something that it blows my mind, because I never would have thought that the body would get in line to, it's almost as if you will the body to accept that you are dependent on this now, even though I'm sure the body knows it's poison, you know, alcohol. It's amazing to me that it can be life-threatening if you stop too fast.
Yes, it can be.
Wow.
And now these are people who have developed severe alcoholism that is impairing. And one of the other things to consider, and I jumped, coming from medicine, right into the physiologic aspects, but you also have to look at psychosocial impairment. When people are realizing, hey, my job's in danger because I'm using alcohol too much. Hey, I'm getting some legal charges. This isn't good. Hey, I'm being threatened with divorce if I don't quit drinking. Nonetheless, the alcohol is the main thing. I once saw a movie where somebody said the secret of life was one thing. When you decide what it is, that everything else falls in place. And for the addict, the one thing is the alcohol. It's the cannabis. It's the cocaine.
Wow. And do the treatment offerings through Willowbrook offer services to individuals addicted to other substances? Like, for example, I'm not sure if this is something that can be. I'm completely naive to this, but to sugar or to food, like, is that in
we
the
don't,
same realm?
Those are called process addictions, where people maybe have a food addiction or a pornography addiction, gambling addictions, and they certainly are destructive.
Sure.
We offer psychotherapy. We offer over the therapeutic programs. Most of the IOP is focused on substances, be it alcohol, opioids, cocaine, cannabis. But there's consideration of addressing some of the other behavioral addictions, and they're often comorbid with substance dependence. It's not uncommon to have people that are using substances, yet they engage in other risky behaviors, or so-called adrenaline junkies, or people that may be using cocaine and then they gamble to an excess, or people that are using and then spend excessively.
Wow. Well, how do you know if you have an addiction problem?
Generally, people don't, because there's something about addiction. We often call it denial, but I'd say it's almost on a physiologic level, where people have become to accept that as part of themselves, to the part that they don't see that that is destroying their lives and that it interferes with the way they're functioning. Often it takes a third party, and often that third party is not benign. Sometimes the third party may be trouble that you're getting into repeatedly because you're using. The person who is going to the bar gets intoxicated and is getting into repeated bar fights that are causing significant problems for them physically and socially. That would be one case. The person that is having marital dysfunction or financial dysfunction because of their substance use, or the person who's got criminal charges stemming from them. These are often the first warnings. Hopefully, people may be confronted by people close to them early on saying, hey, you really need to cut back, or you need to stop. And they seek help before it gets to the point where society has to intervene.
If we could, what is the difference between inpatient, outpatient, and partial hospitalization?
Inpatient hospitalization is generally when people come in when they're acutely intoxicated or are having withdrawal symptoms that are dangerous. For example, somebody said, I've had enough, I need to quit drinking. 2 days later, their blood pressure is going up, they're feeling terrible, they're tremulous, and they come in and they have to be admitted so that we can place them on detox. Now, detox, we give a medication that mimics the effects of alcohol, and we taper it down so that the body has a chance to be withdrawn from the alcohol to prevent withdrawal symptoms, including delirium tremens, which I've described, but also alcoholic hallucinosis, where you may be hearing voices, may be having a very unsettling emotional or perceptual changes, or seizures, which can occur earlier on in withdrawal too. So that's the reason that we do detoxification, say, for alcohol. But people may come in for opioids. They can't get their heroin. They can't get the medicines they've been receiving on the street for pain management. They may have been on pain management. They were discovered to be abusing. They were cut off, and suddenly they're worried about withdrawing. There are other medications like Subutex that can be used to assist with opioid withdrawal to control this.
Wow. And does everyone go through an inpatient stay when receiving treatment for addiction?
Not necessarily. If people are, one, not actively withdrawing, if their use is to a point where it can be managed outpatient, we go for the lowest level of care. Inpatient, when you go in, you're going to be staying there. You're usually there for about 4, 5, 6 days or so, depending on your case. Sometimes people have comorbid conditions which extend their stay and require that they stay longer.
Time is 8:40. We're going to go and take our first commercial break. But when we come back, we will continue our conversation with Dr. Christopher Randolph, board-certified psychiatrist and geriatric psychologist at the Willowbrook Psychiatric Center in Carrollton, as we chat more about Willowbrook and addiction. Remember, we are live streaming this morning's program on the News Talk 1330 Facebook page. So a quick reminder again, if you have any questions or comments for our guests, please feel free to throw those in the chat. Community Voice brought to you by Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy.
The customized academic scholar journey at Oak Mountain Academy is individually designed to provide students with a personalized, clearly defined academic track that earns the student a series of distinctions upon graduation. This journey enables academically driven students to pursue a focused, rigorous course of study personalized to their wants and desires. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Consider the Mobius strip. Take a strip of paper, twist it, connect the ends. This connection forms a continuous loop. Seamless, infinite. That's how your healthcare should be too. At Tanner Health, the Mobius is our symbol and our promise, representing our continuum of care and our commitment that the services you need will be here for you always. We're not just changing healthcare, we're redefining it. See more at tanner.org.
Now we're back to Community Voice. Today is Friday, January 24th. You are listening to Community Voice as we chat with Dr. Christopher Randolph, board-certified psychiatrist and geriatric psychiatrist at the Willowbrook Psychiatric Center in Carrollton. We're talking today about treatment options for addiction through Willowbrook. And just a reminder, this morning's program is live streamed on our WLBB News Talk 1330 Facebook page. So if you have any questions or comments for our guest, Dr. Christopher Randolph, feel free to throw those in the chat. Dr. Randolph, we just spoke a bit about the difference between, we spoke a bit about inpatient treatments. Could we speak a bit more about partial hospitalizations and the Regain program?
Okay, partial hospitalization is a program in which people come for outpatient treatment, usually for a period about 3 to 4 hours, 5 days a week for partial hospital and 3 days a week for intensive outpatient. During those times, they're involved in various forms of therapy. Mm. When you're dealing with substance use, you have recovery groups, which tend to encourage a recovery-based lifestyle. Other groups deal with other psychological issues, which may be underlying addiction, developing behaviors which are more health-promoting. You may also focus on more appropriate ways or more health-based ways on dealing with emotional disruption rather than using of substances. Hmm. So those are a couple of interventions we have. Regain is one that's based in the evening, deals primarily with addictive processes and deals with patients that may be having to work, may be needing to get into treatment, and it needs to be extended over a period of time. We talked about inpatient, but that's only for a few days. After that, people often need some type of mechanism to continue their therapy so that they don't go back into using. These interventions that we use at Regain would be the various therapies that I mentioned. We did mention pharmacologic interventions, and I believe that we touched on that when we were talking about inpatient. And those can be helpful adjuncts in reducing craving. For medications with alcohol use, we frequently use naltrexone. Naltrexone is an opioid blocker, and you're saying, no, wait a minute, you're talking about opioids and the person has alcohol. It's because endogenous opioids are implicated in the neurochemical cascade that encourages alcohol use, and use of naltrexone has been shown to be clinically significant in reducing craving for alcohol. Another medication is Campral, a camprosate, which works with another neurochemical pathway to reduce some of the craving for alcohol use. However, just taking the pills alone is not adequate. When you're talking about leaving addiction behind, you're talking about basically changing the culture that you're in. There's an old saying in recovery, new playgrounds and new playmates. You're having to get away from the things that usually encourage you to maintain your recovery. Mm-hmm. And that may be changes in family functioning. That's why we do have a family component in the program. It could also be changing cultural norms that you tend to. The obvious one is, if you're used to dropping by the bar after work, let's get that out of there to start with. Let's find alternatives, find other socialization that you can have, which encourages you to remain sober. That may be developing a good connection with one of the sobriety organizations, be it AA, Celebrate Recovery, Smart Recovery. Those are three that we encourage, though there are several others that are involved.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. So we've touched a bit on the various programs that are available to individuals with addiction. What age ranges would Willowbrook be able to treat for addiction?
We're adult. To the best of my knowledge, we do not have an upper limit on adult on ages for patients that are involved. Adolescents, children would be involved in child or adolescent partial hospital with more of a dual diagnosis focus.
So how do you treat patients with a dual diagnosis? And for the listeners, please explain, what is dual diagnosis?
Coexistence of substance use with generally other psychiatric conditions. Mm. And there are a number of comorbidities. Mood disorders, anxiety disorders are very common, especially for alcohol. Bipolar disorder, many people that have bipolar disorder do shift toward using substances, often stimulants or opioids. So when you're dealing with those patients, you're also having to monitor how's the mood doing, how are things going in the person's social life, how are they dealing with their medications for their mood. Mm-hmm. Generally, if these patients are already being followed by another psychiatrist, we continue their treatment through their outpatient psychiatrist, but there are cases in which people present, they have not been previously treated, and we may initiate treatment and set follow-up after they're discharged from the program.
If we could linger a bit on the REGAIN program, could we speak a bit more as to what makes it unique?
I think the fact that, one, it's after hours, it works with people's work schedules. It does address both physiologic and social aspects of addiction. It is intended to be a pathway from which people can develop longer-term recovery. It lasts about 8 weeks, so it's not just a brief period of time. It does allow people to be in a supportive community or a supportive group while they go through that initial very vulnerable phase toward achieving recovery. We see a number of people who've been in previous inpatient or residential recoveries that come to us because the period of time in which you are getting back into the community, back in the old cues that you had for resuming addiction, are pretty strong. Hmm. So having someone who is there, having a group, a community that is focused on your sobriety is important.
And does the REGAIN Program Center have a separate entrance from the rest of the building?
It is in a separate building.
I see.
From the inpatient building. Now, we're in the same building with other PHP programs, partial hospital, but we're at different times, so basically it's quite confidential as far as that's concerned.
Absolutely. We do have our first comment. Jeannie Legal Dollar has written, good program. Thanks, Dr. Randolph, for detox care in our community. Thank you very much, Janie Dollar, for that comment. Time is 8:50. We'll go ahead and take our last commercial break. But when we come back, we'll wrap up our conversation with board-certified psychiatrist and a geriatric psychiatrist at the Willowbrook Psychiatric Center in Carrollton, Dr. Christopher Randolph, as we chat more about Willowbrook and treatment options for individuals suffering with addiction. Community Voice brought to you by Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy.
The World Language Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is designed to provide students with a clearly defined, curriculum-based track to acquire essential knowledge and skills for success in biliteracy fields of study. The successful completion of this journey provides colleges with a method to recognize a rigorous foreign language immersion experience for all students at Oak Mountain Academy. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Consider the Mobius strip. Take a strip of paper, twist it, connect the ends. This connection forms a continuous loop. Seamless, infinite. That's how your healthcare should be too. At Tanner Health, the Mobius is our symbol and our promise, representing our continuum of care and our commitment that the services you need will be here for you always. We're not just changing healthcare, we're redefining it. See more at tanner.org.
And we're back to Community Voice. I'm your host, Josh Engel. Got another comment in from a gentleman named Bobby Gaines. I wish my brother-in-law would go into the program. How do you convince someone that they really need to go?
That's a tough one.
Because what are the things that, you know, people with addiction, that why do they not want to seek treatment?
Because they don't see that there's a problem.
Hmm.
It's become so much a part of them. And they also resent the, it becomes a control issue frequently. And they have also told themselves, I'm in control of this, when they often aren't, because you're often the last to know.
Wow.
And so things that can be done, I know we've all seen the television shows where they have interventions and they get everyone together. That is very difficult to arrange many times. One thing that can be done is family members can bring them by Willowbrook. We do have a walk-in area and they can see one of our counselors and let them take a look at the patient, see if they need to be inpatient, whether they can be referred to Regain, whether they can be a candidate for other outpatient treatments.
So this, if someone is hesitant about Regain or any of these other programs, they are encouraged to come speak
yes.
with you.
Yes, and Willowbrook does have emergent walk-in availability pretty much 24/7.
Excellent.
So that is available should the patient require such, or should their family feel that it's necessary.
And the family, family and friends, could they be included in part of the recovery process?
Yes, there is a family component to Regain.
Wow. In what capacity?
There's a family meeting that occurs weekly. Also, individual meetings with patients and their loved ones.
Wow.
Dealing with problems that may have been engendered by their addiction.
So, if someone is listening right now and they would like to get started into some kind of recovery program at Willowbrook, what would you say their first step should be?
Contact the hospital. Just check out the number on the Tanner website. Call Tanner, they can refer you there, or just come on to Willowbrook. It's in Villa Rica, just down from the Tanner Villa Rica Hospital, and come into the walk-in area, and you will be able to see somebody from Assessment Services.
Excellent. Excellent. So people are encouraged to come out and, you know, speak with you, and they can introduce themselves and talk a bit about their struggles.
Certainly, they would be able to meet with one of the counselors through the assessment site.
And if we could, in the time we have left, we have about for about 4.5 minutes. Would you mind, this is something we've covered earlier in the show in our interview with Dr. Christopher Randolph, so you can go back and check out the podcast of this episode or check out the live stream on Facebook. But if you could, sir, one more time, sort of just remind people of the treatment options, the different levels of options that are available at Willowbrook for individuals with addiction.
One, there's inpatient treatment where people would be admitted for, one, detoxification from their substance of choice. Two, evaluation for other psychiatric concerns. Three, treat other psychiatric concerns as are indicated. And four, referral to further treatments on an outpatient basis. Following inpatient, you do have IOP. That would be Regain, which is a three-time-a-week program which patients participate in for approximately 8 weeks. You're introduced into recovery process, also address possible craving for substances, may look at pharmacologic interventions to assist with craving. There are other outpatient treatments that are usually done following Regain. One is called Journey, which is a group which meets weekly, and it's done remotely, so you can do it from your own home. The other is being referred to individual therapists who have an interest in recovery and treating other psychiatric concerns as they present.
So people don't need to be too frightened that that whatever they're, not that they should be frightened at all, but I imagine that some people might be stressed out, you know, that they don't even want to take that first step because they're worried that they're immediately going to be locked away in a room. But inpatient treatment, albeit gentle and necessary often, isn't always going to be the case.
That's correct.
So there are options available.
Many of the patients that come to us have not been inpatient. There are often extenuating circumstances and people are coming in for rehab and they're not showing symptoms that mandated inpatient.
So there are many people tuning into this program right now, and I imagine many of whom might have addiction issues. Do you have a message for them in the time that we have left? Perhaps a message of encouragement or something that they might really need to hear?
First, addiction can kill you, so it's not just a subject of jokes. It's not something that you can just do on your own. It will expand and it can interfere with many areas of your life. So I'd encourage you to get help. If you're in the community and you're not sure and you feel that you have a problem with addiction, consider any number of the sobriety organizations. Say, as I mentioned, Celebrate Recovery or AA, NA, various organizations that can help refer you for further care if it's needed, and provide support for you to maintain recovery. If you feel that your recovery, your substance use is getting to the point where it's causing significant damage, causing problems for you, come on in for evaluation at Willowbrook. Contact the hospital. Also, if you're not sure what to do, if you feel that you're in a crisis, go to the emergency room. Now, you may say that that's extreme, but no. People can have significant physiologic problems from this, and people who are going through withdrawal feeling overwhelmed because of their substance use can be suicidal. So this is a major mental health crisis.
For more information, visit willowbrookpsychiatriccenter.org. And you can also begin your recovery by calling 770-812-3266. Dr. Randolph, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
And to everyone tuning in at home, we'll see you next time.